Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and full of power. Barrel, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, I ask you to help us by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, and bringing us into all truth. Cause us to comprehend, to understand with your word so we can use it for every part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, illumination, causing us to see things we never would have seen before. So, God, we're not just looking for information. We're looking for revelation. We need you to reveal those things. Take back the curtain so we can see what you have already for us, and it will be revealed, and we'll give you the glory. You deserve all the glory. So we will give no one else the glory for the victory that we have because of your word. We're going to apply your word now. We're doers of your word. Teach us, help us, guide us, lead us, bring us into all truth. And we cancel the assignment of the enemy. Satan, I address you directly. Though you come immediately to steal the word, that's your assignment. I cancel your assignment. So you don't have nothing to do today in here. So you have no right to this place. And I remind you, you are going to the lake of fire. You will burn forever, and there is no remedy for you. There is no salvation. So you are tormented now, and I know you're concerned about it, but you can't do anything about it. So leave us alone. We resist you. You must flee. In Jesus' name, I declare it, I call it done, I decree a thing, call it done. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's word. I do the word. Say, I do the word. I do a lot of other things, but I do the word first. I am a doer of the word of God. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done, and everybody said, amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. Let's go in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 23. That's where we left it off last time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 23. You owe thee. What do we owe thee, O Lord, is the question that is our topic that we're teaching about. What do we owe thee? What do I owe you, God? What do I owe you? What do I owe you? You ever got done with something? Now, how much do I owe you for that? Somebody fix your car, you know, and unexpectedly you had to go into a service place and, you know, they all of a sudden move a couple wires and made a couple of pumps and put a little clamp on there, and all of a sudden it was going, but they get done, it's going, say, what do I owe you for that? Sometimes they say, oh, nothing, don't worry about it. You know, just have a nice day. Thank you very much. Favor kicked in. Sometimes they say, that'll be $5,442.37. Like, what? You just put a stupid clamp on there, man. Now we're complaining. But if they would have said, just have a nice day, don't worry about it, we'd be like, thank you very much. But God has been doing things for us since you were born. In fact, before you were formed in your mother's womb, the Bible says he knew you. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he said that. He asked God, he was crying out consistently to God, saying, God, why me? Why me? I feel so inadequate. Why me? Why? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? And I feel sort of like that on my 7th year anniversary of hell and back in less than 7 years. Why me, God? Why did you allow me to live? And Dr. Mukamori, who had come to this church just shortly before I went through this, he passed away from Zimbabwe. Good buddy of mine. Why did some of the patriarchs that have shaped my life, why did you allow them to go away? Why, God? Why did some of these preachers we've been knowing for years, why you let them expire already? Why? Why did my father have to die at that time? Why you allow that to happen? And why am I still here? And God really puts in our heart, as this preacher was saying, that's because you're you. And then he started talking to me about that song that you are. You are a song that people need to hear the instruments play through your song of life. As we had the worship and praise team and all of our singers here, and, you know, they're standing there, I said to myself, you couldn't get this sound out of just one person. Everyone is contributing. And sometimes I get so excited, I grab the microphone. I try to hide it, you know. But I grab the microphone and say, I'm getting in on this. Well, you know, the congregation singing, they just don't have a microphone. But, you know, you want to just join in because you have a part on that song that's going to make it different. You want to add in. Somebody needs to hear your side of what you're saying. And even if it's just, oh, oh. There's some song that you are singing and people need to hear your melody. That's why we need to come together to make some beautiful music together every Sunday and every Wednesday. And when you're missing, we're missing a few keys. Yeah. Some of you percussionists, we need you thumping and bumping. Some of y'all that like the wine, we need the string sound. Oh, God. Some of you high piccolo sounding women. You know, we all got our own song. We need to sing our songs. And the reason why God chose you to still be here is because you're you. I remember I was standing over there prior to being attacked. I was standing over there, and the Lord said, I need your voice in the earth. I said, what do you mean? He said, I need your voice in the earth. And that's when he started telling us to do more and more with media. So whatever God wants, because I owe him. And I told you last week as we was closing, you owe God you. Let's go back to that first scripture we looked at this morning. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 21, I believe it is. Isaiah 43 and verse number 21. I suggest you read most of this part of Isaiah, especially chapter 40 to 47 or so, or maybe 48. You might want to read the whole thing of Isaiah. But I'm telling you, there's some powerful words in here, and we need to live by them. Because the prophet is bringing to us words that help us to understand our purpose. You have a purpose on this earth. And without a purpose, you don't want to live. This is why people ask the question all the time. Why am I here? You are here because you are created by God for himself. If you are a child of God, God created you for himself. You were not. This is why it's such a violation for a person that is born again to go out and please the enemy and his plan. To live like the devil while you're born again. You took that salvation that Jesus paid the ultimate price for, paid a heavy price. And you're living according to the dictates of this world. You're following a master that is not yours. You have been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. When I get done with this series, you're gonna feel like somebody. When you walk around, you're going to say, and there ain't going to be no ego. It's just going to be knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowing, knowledge. You just walk around and you just be like, you know, I know. And it's not arrogant. It's not trying to be cool. It's not, I know more than everybody else. I'm high. You know, people like me better. Don't it look better? No, it's none of that. It's just you know. When you know that you know, but you have to watch that now because knowledge does puff up. You get to get that little degree, and all of a sudden, now you somebody. You get that new title, you somebody, and so you start trying to treat everybody down because you up. But what goes up? I ain't even going to say it. So we have to be careful while we're up. Because just because you up don't mean you're going to stay up. I don't care how far, how long we fly at 41,000. Kevin and I fly at 41,000 feet. We got to come down. And after a while, we got to start planning how we're going to land this thing. You can't stay up there forever. You can't fly. I don't care. You ain't got enough fuel. It's not. You're not even designed to fly forever. You got to get to the ground sometime. You got to realize you ain't all that anyhow. And you know, pilots have it bad. So do disc jockeys and radio people and TV people. I came from all that mess. So you know I had to deal with it. And they walk around with all their bars on and all that. That's why Kevin dressed the way he does. He wants to stay humble. I'm from the bush of Alaska. Okay? At any minute, I may jump in my little, you know, my little J3 and just. He wants to stay humble. So he dresses like he's in the bush still. But here he is commanding all these captains and officers in the aviation world. Testing them. You didn't pass. You're going to have to do that again. Because you have an examiner. And so, but see, we can go out there until we forget who we are. Here's what it, when I just said who we are, the Lord said, tell them they ain't nothing without me. You ain't nothing. That's who you are. You're nothing without him. What? Yeah. We are nothing without him. I love it. Because you meet people and they're so puffed up. Before you meet him, he's going to give me his title first. I'm Dr. Reverend. I'm Dr. Reverend Pastor So-and-so. And we used to work with a guy who was building, when we were building this building here, he had run out of space on his business card for all the letters he had of the degrees that he had accomplished. He had so many different degrees, he ran out of space on the business card. And it was true, he had gone to that much school. But do you know, and this is sad, but do you know by the time we finished this building, he died. He was the engineer. He flew in here. We paid him $10,000 a month. The finance company made us do it. I don't think they had to. $10,000 a month to come here. No, it was $7,500. I stand corrected. $7,500 a month for him to come in, to fly in from Tennessee, I think it was, fly in, we've had to pay for his airfare too, just to check the building to make sure they were building it right. And he gave us his business card and told us how many degrees he had and all this kind of stuff. Charlie was his name. I ain't gonna give you his last name. Charlie. And Charlie had all that, but by the time we were finished with this building, he was gone with all his degrees. This is why, you know, and I'm getting off sidetrack now, because there's a lot to this teaching. The Lord said, you're going to teach this for a long time. Because y'all just going to, you're going to find out again and again and again that you're somebody. And you're going to conduct yourself like somebody. And I don't mean somebody's business, but you somebody. Because, you know, we got to get a hold of what God is saying. You are formed by God for himself. And the reason he formed you for himself, it says in Isaiah 43:21, it says, they shall show forth my praise. Everything you do should be praising God. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you cut your grass. You do cut your grass, don't you? I hope you cut your grass. Okay. I see a couple of folks squirming out there. We'll let you borrow a lawnmower. But see, everything we do, we should do it to the glory of God, or so that God can receive glory. Say amen to that. Amen. When you get that tenacious about God, God will get tenacious about you. Yes. Listen, you better not mess with my child. Your head is on a platter like they tried to do John the Baptist. I can't take this. You can't mess with my people. Now, that's not arrogance. Okay, I got that. 1 John 5:14. Please turn there. See, because most of us operate out of false humility. And God don't want you phony humility. Oh, praise the Lord. I know I'm nothing but a worm. And you were. But you're not. God don't have no worms for children. You're not a worm any longer. You were a sinner, but then you got saved by grace. But you're not a sinner saved by grace now. You're just saved. Unless, because sinner is a nomenclature. It's a job title. So you're not a sinner anymore. You can't be a sinner and be a saint at the same time unless you're just practicing sin while being saved. Once you get saved, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So you should know you're saved. And you should tell people, I can't do that because I'm saved. We go into a lot of restaurants. Sometimes we have to eat 4 times a week out of the house. She loves it because she don't have to cook no more. Ain't no kids there, man. So, you know, I don't have no excuse. I can't say, well, you know, we got to fix something for the kids because there ain't no kids in there. You go home, ain't nothing but pots and pans. There ain't no kids in that house. So, you know, she don't feel like cooking, we going out to eat. We've been too busy today. And what can I say? So, praise God, she put in her 50 years, and she don't have to cook. Should be some benefits after a while, right? So 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. See, we have confidence, and that's what I'm saying. It's not arrogance. It's not you being haughty. It's not you being egotistical. When you stand there, you have confidence in the Lord. And that's what we should be exuding is confidence in the Lord, not confidence in your degree, not confidence in your promotion, not confidence in your rank, not confidence in your skin color, not the confidence in your gender. This is the confidence that we have in him. Your confidence, do you have any confidence? And I was talking about pilots, and I'm talking about entertainers, and talking about singers, and talking about radio and television personalities and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes they have confidence in what they do. Did you hear me last night on the radio? By the way, we got radio spots happening right now. How many heard them? Praise God. All right. But they're not for you anyhow. You're already here. Okay. They're inviting other people to come here. But anyhow, but people can have confidence in the wrong thing. And see, I wrote the book Winning Against All Odds, and most people don't know how to celebrate victories. God, show me that's why athletes get in trouble. And a lot of people that win, you know, Indy 500 going on today. Somebody going to win it. Maybe already have. But they got to learn how to celebrate. And it ain't with somebody that ain't your wife. And a bunch of intoxicating stuff that you wouldn't drink if you had to drive that race car at 210 miles an hour. That's fast. Shoot, we rotate at 70, 80 miles an hour in some airplanes and get on there, and we flying. You going 210 miles an hour? Are you still standing on the ground? The Lord help you if you lift up. That's scary. But see, they win, and they don't know how to celebrate. And so I want to speak to some of you athletes that's watching my live stream. You need to get into the things of God so you can know where to put that glory. Because just because you can bounce that ball or catch that ball or throw that ball or beat everybody else in the head and knock them down or knock them over that has the ball, you need to give God the glory for your body. Because your body is not yours. Once you give it to Jesus, it's his. Now, you do that, you learn how to be around people that treat you the right way, because some people will feed your ego. Yeah. So you act a fool, And then you wonder how you ended up shipwrecked years after having such victory. God wants you to not be shipwrecked. He wants you to go through life in victory, knowing that you are a winner, whether you won or lost last night. Amen? Now, let's go over here and look again. Now, 1 John 5:14, y'all got it? In fact, read it with me. If you got the New King James Version, let's read it together. Say, now. He hears us. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that we have in him. God is teaching us we should have some confidence in the Lord. We shouldn't walk around nervous in the service, always wondering what's going to happen. After you prayed, it's over. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, we always run around for asking other people to pray for us. Why? Because you don't have no confidence in your prayer. You don't need nobody to pray for you. You got the same God. Ain't no big Holy Ghost and small Holy Ghost. Ain't no big Jesuses and little Jesuses. Your prayers don't hit the ceiling. If you pray according to the word of God, according to the will of God, it does not hit the ceiling. And Reverend Dr. So-and-so's never hit the ceiling. They hit the ceiling too if you don't use Jesus' name. Now, I see a lot of, especially dignitaries, start praying and they won't signature the thing in Jesus' name because they don't want to get labeled believing in just one, as they call it, religion. All they did is just pray, bounce off the ceiling, because it's not going nowhere. You got to ask in Jesus' name, because Jesus is the one paid for what you ask him for. So you can sit there and act like you can get it just by osmosis. It's not going to happen. And if it does, it's probably luck from the enemy. He's the only one that has luck. God has Luke. Luck from the enemy to be able to keep you doing that stupid stuff. Well, it worked. Yeah, the enemy will give you a few. First, drugs are always free. Just so he can get you hooked. But you need to pray in Jesus' name. Because what's going to hurt you anyhow? I don't care. You know, people go in front of the house of the senator. I've been down there praying for the people, you know, to open the senator or whatever, and they won't pray in Jesus' name. Forget it. I just won't come back. But I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. Because I ain't down there just to pray for show. Just so people can say, oh, he was praying in front of Congress or in front of the president. If he ain't saying nothing in Jesus' name, then what are you praying for? Who are you praying to? Buddha? Who are you praying to? See, and we got to get a handle on this kind of stuff. Now, I'm talking, there's many things that are being pulled out of me right now. Take the part that's yours, okay? Now, this is the confidence. This is the confidence. The Lord says, drive this in. This is the confidence. This is the confidence. Do you have confidence? Oh, Pastor, I'm confident. Yeah, you're confident because you got that degree. If you ain't had that degree, you wouldn't have any confidence. You're confident because you got a good job. But you get fired, boy, you're going to be a mess. You're confident because of the family you came from. You got a rich family you came from. Or they a certain color. Come on, Juneteenth is coming up. Certain color. See, I'm not afraid to touch anything. Because God touches it all. And you can be up and out and down and out. Both are not good. Now, this is the confidence. This is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. 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 We don't have it in anything else. We don't have it in our relationship. If I just can get with her, I can just get him to marry me. Oh, gosh, that's going to make. No, you have confidence in him, capital H in my vocabulary. Confidence in him, in him, in him, in him, in him, in him. In order to have confidence in him, you got to know what him said. What did him say? You don't know what him said. You don't even come up in the church long enough to find out what him said. So what did him say? When you get sick, what did him say? I know this is ebonic, but what did he say? What did God say? By his stripes you're healed. Whose report will you believe? I'll believe the report of the Lord. We've got to find out what he says. That's more important than anybody else and what they say. I ain't thinking about what you say. With all due respect, I do care for you. I love you. Praise the Lord. Kumbaya. But I am going to listen to God. Now, I asked the question last week, and I got sort of sour looks and wrinkled foreheads from a bunch of women in the church. When I asked the question, your husband was standing there like Eve, and Adam was standing there, and he said, no, I ain't eating that. Would you get mad? You got to release that man of God enough to let him do what God's telling him to do. Because I dare say a lot of us would have just went ahead and ate, just to keep peace in the family. Because she said, you better eat it. I fixed this. I worked all day cooking this dinner. But the dinner is from the devil. God told us not to eat that. Do you believe what I'm saying? Because God told me the truth, and the truth is going to stand. Now, had he skipped dinner, we wouldn't be in this problem. So that was a big meal. Now, I'm just bringing it back because we got to learn how to have confidence in the Lord. We got to do what he says to do. Not what everybody else says, because we want to be popular. Everybody wants to be known. Everybody wants to be the big cheese. It reminds me when I was in the radio before I used my fake name, my stage name of J.J. Jackson. I was on radio here, actually in broadcasting school, and then I became a paraprofessional, assistant teacher at the technical college here in Tacoma, and then after that, I went into the industry and came back and taught professionally broadcasting. But my wife, who was my girlfriend then, gave me a nickname. I'm talking about Big Cheese. She said, Don, I read a book, and there was a guy by the name of Cheesy in there. You should be Cheesy Don Shorter. And to keep peace in the family, I went on the air and call myself Cheesy. Father, forgive me, for I know not what I did. She said, oh, that sounded good. She's at high school listening to the radio. I said, girl, that ain't sound good. Cheesy Don Shorter. We dropped that after a while. So this is the confidence. This is it. This is the confidence. This is the confidence. This is not arrogance. This is, when you know you can call up and City Hall will send down all the help you need, you got some confidence. Now, you don't walk around with ego. You walk around thanking God. That Jesus had it. He said, you guys standing here with these clubs and staves and stuff, these swords and stuff. Listen, man, I can call my father, and he's going to sit down 70,000, a legion, 70,000 angels, 9 foot tall with fire in their eyes to take care of you and your little clubs and your little swords. But then how everybody going to get saved? So I'll just suffer through this. In other words, he had the confidence that in the physical, he could knock those men out that was trying to take him. But really, if he had done that, he would be taking himself from the will of God, which was for him to suffer for you and me. Now, did y'all catch that? It didn't go over the head. Okay. So that's not arrogance when he says, I could call down 70,000 angels. I could call down a legion of angels. Why? Because this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And it's his will to have angels around me. In fact, my foot shall not dash upon the stone. The angels are sent here. Go to Hebrews 1:14, because I want to tell you, you got the same thing going on. Now, I left off last time telling y'all about my entourage. Some of you look at me like I'm trying to be egotistical again. I'm not, because you got an entourage also. Now, nobody is being egotistical because we're talking about you, right? You see how we do things? As long as it's about me, there's nothing wrong with it. But all, as soon as we start talking about somebody else, all of a sudden, why are you saying all that? Why you got to say it about yourself? We've got to work on ourselves. I got to work on me, and you got to work on you. But I need your song singing next to me. I need to hear your song. You need to hear my song. Right now, I'm singing. Pretty soon, I'll shut up, and y'all be singing. I hope you sing the same thing that you heard. Don't go home and have roast pasta. You know how that goes. You got the barbecue grill going. The pastor said so-and-so yesterday. I don't know if I agree with him. All of a sudden, I'm on the grill. I ain't even been invited. Y'all slicing me up for dinner. And pastor says so-and-so such. I don't know about all that. Flip that thing over. You got to watch that, see, because the same anointing that delivers you is the same anointing that will, well, anyhow, we won't even talk about that. Are they not all ministering spirits, talking about angels, sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? How many here will inherit salvation? Put your hand up. Okay, now you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, but that salvation will come when Jesus comes. Now listen to me. The Lord brought this to me also. God is cool. I'm not kidding. God is so cool. The way he talks, he just gets you. He hits you on one side of the head while he reaches around and hits you on the other side. So he was talking to me about this, and he was talking about us being who we are and how we can be able to live this life of God but not know that we're doing what he would have us to do and doing things that are wrong and allowing ourselves to go that way, when really if we just make a minor change, we can be doing God's perfect will and God's angels will work on our behalf. Now, last week, I told you I had an entourage. Again, this week, I'm telling you, you have an entourage. When you move, angels move. They are called ministering spirits, serving spirits. Are they not all? Yeah, put it in the Amplified. Let's get this. Because you need confidence that when you're driving down the street, and I don't know about you, but I've seen more crazy people driving now than ever before. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's the weed in the state of Washington. I don't know what it is. And in Oregon, it's even worse. Because you drive down there, and I'm driving through Portland and Beaverton and Hillsboro and all them places I've been driving through. I'm like, Lord, help us today. I'm like driving like, you know, I'm in Afghanistan or something, man. Okay. Because I'm watching all around me. You know, I don't know who's going to blow up or try to run me over. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out by God to serve, accompany, protect those who will inherit salvation? Of course they are. All of the angels, these ministering spirits, angels, all of them are employed to be sent out by God to serve, accompany, and protect you. Every angel is created to protect us. So if you're walking along and angels have been sent to protect you, I think they need to walk with you. That's all I'm saying. That you have an entourage. Now, I'm not making this up. This is in the Word of God. It's been in your Bible all this time, just nobody showed it to you in this way. But you have angels. Some people are scared to take a train. They're scared they saw a derailment one time, and they're like, I ain't never getting on a train. Never, never, ever. Aretha Franklin, this is the story that's been always said, that Aretha Franklin would not fly on airplanes. She would not do it. That limited her ability to be able to serve. I don't know if she ever did. Maybe she did fly to some places. Somebody can look that up on Google. Of course, it's all right there. But from what I understand, Aretha Franklin, that great singer, respect and all them songs, that lady would not get on an airplane. That's bondage. Now, there are some things that you probably shouldn't do. Because you don't have the confidence. Even when you talk to God. I went scuba diving. That's all I'm going to say. I wouldn't tell you that I got scared and opened my mouth while I was under about 15 feet of water in the Bahamas. And I tasted salt water and more salt water. And I started going. But I was cool. I was cool. Coming out of there, I was cool. As my wife walked over there and said, "What's wrong, Don?" I said, "Oh, nothing. I think I'll go snorkeling now." I ain't going scuba diving now. I always wanted to scuba dive, but scuba diving is sort of weird anyhow, because you know you can get the bends and all this stuff, and you can't take a flight within so many hours or whatever if you've been down in the water and blah blah blah. A lot of people don't know that, but because it'll mess you up, because you were not created to be a fish. Neither were you created to be a bird. But you will fly. Jesus will make sure of that. But I got in that water, and see, there's some things you can have all the confidence in the world, even in God, but you ain't ready for it. And my mind got to me and said, "You are actually under the water." I said, "So what?" Because I love to swim. I said, "So what?" He said, "But this is salt water, and there's currents, and there's all kinds of stuff down here. Ooh. And God ain't with you down here. You're by yourself." So I said, "And besides, if you wanted to open your mouth and breathe, you can't. Try it." It's like, who's talking to me? All of a sudden, I opened my mouth till I wanted to get the thing tighter on my lips. Don't do that. That salt water got in me. And man, I freaked out. I freaked out. So this is the confidence that we have in him. You can have all the angels you want around you. Some things you need to know that you shouldn't even pursue. Okay, Romans chapter 12. Now, the angels are there to serve you because you are heirs of salvation. If you don't have salvation, I can't give you no guarantee. See, now that's bad. That's why you shouldn't hang with just people that don't have Jesus. Because they don't have the same guarantee that you have. Okay, we're just about done. I got 30 seconds. Oh, actually, this is the last scripture. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Your body is not yours. You are to be not a dead sacrifice. "I'm dead, Lord. I can't do nothing." No, you should be alive. This is why we try to get you folks alive. Some of you, if we put up the right team on your television this afternoon, you will knock the popcorn over. You will be all over the place. But see, then you come to church and it's like you're not even a sacrifice. Well, you're a sacrifice, but you're dead. You're like the barbecue you're going to eat tomorrow, just laying there. And we say, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Say, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah." Say, "Thank you, Jesus. Jesus." Like, what's wrong with you? Don't you know God is the one that's giving you the breath you're breathing? Don't you realize you've been bought with a price? "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Don't give God dead stuff. Don't even treat him dead. Don't treat his people like you're dead. Stop going around believers and unbelievers. Go around people that's unsaved and then act like you're dead about Christ. Have some life about you. At least smile. Danae. Dr. K, I want these mirrors ordered next week. I want mirrors. I'm serious. And I will require you. Your admission to come in here now is a mirror that we gave you. You don't have your mirror because I want you to look at yourself to see what we got to see. Because God told Jeremiah, don't look at their faces. All right. Now, say, I owe God. What I owe God is me. Now, we've had an extended service here today, but in order to finish this service, you need three things you need to do. Number one, acknowledge that God is the one that you need. That's number one. Acknowledge and do it all day long. This Memorial weekend, just keep saying, God, you're the one I need. I may not need this, I may not need that, but I need you. Number two, that God is the number one thing, the number one person or being that you will serve. God, I will serve you all my life. Nobody else gets served like you. I serve you, God. I serve you like nobody else. And number three, God, I owe you, and I'll never pay you off, even though I'll try. Now, again, there's a song. We're going to go home with a song. I want to play this song because I believe it's going to minister to somebody. I don't know what part of this is going to minister to you. It's called I Owe You Me. Because we owe him, us. You can't pay God off with your tithes and offerings. Some of you don't even tithe and give. You ain't even trying, but you need to. Because it's going to bless your life, not just bless God. You're not even trying to pay God back. Some of us don't really even serve, but God wants you to serve. You'll enjoy serving in the church. It will reward you. It'll make you feel better for you to be active, involved in the church. And some of us don't want to share who we are with other people. People need to hear the melody coming out of you, the song of God. Each one of us, a different song being sung next to our neighbor. Your story is important. So I'm going to play this song. And then we're going to have the altar call. I'm not going to interrupt it. I'm not going to even explain it. Just play the song if you would, please. You may get the words. I don't know if they have the words or not, but at least you can get this. You owe God, you. I owe God, me. My life, because he saved my life. Almost died three times, but he raised me up. That's why I'm here preaching to you with vigor. Because he did something for me, and you need to be thankful to God because you got your own story. Amen? Praise God.
My life.
Give God praise in Jesus' name. Thank God. How many have given their lives to Jesus Christ in this place? Come on. You owe God you. Even though you've given your life to Jesus, you need to be living your life for Jesus now. Every moment of your day is consumed with Him. I know we got to do professional things, but we need to owe God every moment and give Him the glory. Now, maybe you're here and you have never really given your life to Jesus. Maybe people even thought you were a Christian, but you're not. The truth of the matter is that you will find that out when you get before God, because God doesn't receive counterfeits. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, including those of you on live stream, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. This is very important. I don't know how long you have. Some people think they're going to live till tomorrow and they will not make it. I don't know who they are, but if I were you, I would make sure that I have salvation in the bag, that you've already taken care of that. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you owe, even if you have not received Jesus, you owe God you. You owe the Lord yourself. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you've never been born again, you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's your opportunity. On this weekend, this Memorial Weekend, put your hand up high because I want to pray with you. If you desire to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be able to pay Him, try to pay Him back for saving your life many, many times in the past. If that's your desire to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you and agree with you. I want to add my faith with yours. Now let's seal this part with a prayer. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And today, I declare I am saved. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer a minute, God knows it, and you need to know that they're rejoicing in heaven, so why won't we do it here? Come on, give God praise and thank God for that, in Jesus' name. For those of you watching my live stream, thank you for being along with us. Have a great Memorial Weekend.